B'ezras Hashem's book, we begin paragraph in the fourth chapter in the Dam Sichas Erev, the laws of joining together different areas in the Stasis Man, the book of designated times, which in this paragraph we discuss, continuing the halachas of Erevin, regarding the joining together of different dwellers and that of different areas. The drama gets halacha off regarding the people of a courtyard that are, they're considered like people of one house. Anshei Chatzer, people of a courtyard, Shekulam Oichlam al Shulchan Echad, they're all eating on the same table. Although they all have their own independent homes, they don't have to make an Erev. They're like people of one home, meaning because the primary dwelling of a person is where he eats, and they're all eating together in the same home. Just like a person's wife, or b'nei beis, or his family members, or slaves, are not oisin love, don't make a forbidden on him. He doesn't have to make an Erev with them. So to these people, they're like people of one household, because they're all leaning on the same table, they're all like living here in the same place. So they have to make an Erev with the members of another courtyard. Erev echad lekulam, one erev for them all. Ufas achas, and you could just take one loaf of bread. Bilvad alone, meilichan loisim malkum shem arvan yimay, they could take to that place that they make an erev with them, because it's like one house that's taking and joining with that next quarter. Now, v'mhoyeh erev ba'atzlam, and if the erev was coming to them, inam tichlam, they don't have to make an erev. K'mahabayis, like the house shem lichan ba'erev that you put that erev into, she'in etzorch lidin asbas, that does not have to give the bread. Because all these homes are this one courtyard. They're considered like it's one house because they're all eating here in this one house. So to the people of a courtyard, not necessarily they're eating on one table, but they made an Erev. So that's the same idea. They're all like living in one house. They want to make an Erev with another courtyard. Only one loaf of bread do they have to take through them all to the place that make an Erev. Now, although generally every house has to give one loaf of bread to join the Erev, here they're all like one house, and therefore that's all they have to take is to that other courtyard is one loaf of bread. Then when the Erev came to them, none of the members have to give bread because it's like they're all in that one house that the bread is put in, which that one house doesn't have to give bread. Halacha Dalet. Chamisha Shagobu is the Erev. Five people that collected the Erev to put it into the place where they placed the Erev, meaning they want to join also with the people of another courtyard. So Kashem Elichim, when they're taking that bread that they have to the other courtyard, they don't have to transfer for all five of them but one loaf of bread. Because Shakim and Shagob, like we said, since they collected, they're all like one household, and now you only got to take one to the other courtyard. Now, a father and a son, a teacher and a student, that they live together in the courtyard, they don't have to make an Erev. They're automatically like one household. Now, although sometimes they eat together on the same table, sometimes they eat separate, they consider like one household. Now, brothers, each one of them has his own home. They don't all eat by their father, the patriarch, by his table. Or begin to nush to women, or have more slaves. They don't always eat by their husband's or by their master's table. But sometimes they do eat by his table. For payment for the work that they do for him, or like a favor, by Yom Yadu and by certain known days. Like someone who he always eats by his friend, Shavua, Echidish, a certain week or a certain month. So if there's no other dwellers with them, besides these wives, with this man that are in the courtyard, so in Chichlav, then they don't have to make an Erev, because that's enough to be considered like their one house. But and therefore, if they make an Erev with another courtyard, they only need one Erev for them all. And then if the Erev comes by them, none of them have to give bread. But there were other dwellers with these wives, with this man. There were other homes in that same courtyard. Then every one of those wives or those slaves would require their own bread. Like all the other members of the courtyard, because since we're being divided here by other dwellers, they're also considered as separate. Because they don't always eat by his table constantly. So they are considered divided, at least for that regard. Halacha Zayin. Chamesh Chaburis. Five groups. Shoshavsu B'traka Necha. That spent Shabbos in a large hall that is separated in with many different rooms. So depends. If there was a separation between all those groups, a partition hamagas l'tikra that goes all the way up to the roof, so that means every single group is as if they're in their own room, or in their own floor. If you would require bread from every single group separately for the Erev. But the Me'ena Mechitza Nagizla Tikkur, but if the partitions did not make it all the way up to the roof, then Kikar Achaz Akulim, then you only need one loaf of bread for them all. Shakulim Kanche Bayez Echad Chashuvim, they're all considered like members of one household because it's not really separated. Lachachas, now, where you put the Erev, and what's considered requiring an Erev, is a Mokam Dira, a place of dwelling. If someone has in his friend's courtyard a Beit Shar, a gatehouse, which many people step on, meaning they walk through, that's what a gatehouse is. He has a porch or a balcony, or a barn, or a granary with destroyers, or where the wood is kept, or it's some type of storehouse. He's not going to make it forbidden for his friend, like as if, what do you mean? I also have an apartment here and I'm not part of the Erev. No, it's not considered a place of dira, until he has with him in his courtyard mokum dira, a place of dwelling, where he relies on where he eats his bread. Then he would make a forbidden on his friend until he makes an Erev with him. But these are not place of dwelling where a person lives and eats. Now, a mokum lina, but just a place where one sleeps, in Israel would not make it forbidden. But therefore, if the guy made a place where he could eat by the gatehouse, or on that balcony, or on that porch, then he's not going to make it forbidden to him, because it's not considered as a place of dwelling, meaning these areas is inherently not a mokum of dira, and therefore, even if he makes it a place where he's eating, it's not going to make it forbidden. It has to be a place that's a dira, and a dira that's meant for eating, then it's considered something that's going to make it forbidden until he joins in the Erev. Halacha tes, asar batim, 10 homes, zelef nemizeh, one within the other one. So you go through one to get through the other one to get to the other one. So the ones who live all the way in the inside, they have to go through all the outer apartments to get to the street, to get to the courtyard. Sabayis apenimi vashenuli, so the innermost home, and the one right outside of him, they have to place an Erev. But the eight outermost homes, they don't have to give an Erev. Why? Since the public walks through those homes, they're like a gatehouse. Like we said, even if you eat and drink and whatever you do over there, but someone who dwells in the gatehouse, doesn't make it forbidden. It's not considered as a dira, even though you're living over there. But the ninth one, the only one that walks through his house, right before the last one, innermost, the second to the last one, the penultimate, is only one individual. Therefore, he does make it forbidden actually eat until he gives his Erev, because it's not considered Beit Shar for an individual. But for the other eight, they're all Beit Shars for a Rabban, for two, and therefore they're not considered as a Dira requiring to join in the Erev. Halacha Yud, Shtei Chatzeres, two courtyards. Ubeneim, Shlesha Batim, and between these two courtyards are three homes, Psuchim Zelazeh, that open up one into the other, Psuchim Lechazes, and they open up to the courtyards. Now, the members of this courtyard, they bring their Erev derech habayis hapasuchlam through the house that opens to them, but they didn't put the Erev in over there. They put it into the middle house. So too, the members of the other courtyard on the other side, they brought their Erev derech hapasuchlam through the home that opens to them, but didn't put it in there. They put it in the middle house. Those three homes between these two courtyards, they don't have to give any bread towards the Erev. Why? The middle one, they should nichubay Erev. That's Allah, we said, when the house that Erev is placed in doesn't have to join bread, because that's actually where he lives. It's all to, like they all live over there. And the two homes on either side of him, because every single one of those homes become a Beit Shar, a gatehouse, to the people of the courtyard to get through where their Erev is. And you don't have to put in the Erev. You don't have to join the Erev if you're living in the Beit Shar. Now, if you have Shtei Chatzeres, two courtyards, now you have two homes that open to each other, and that open up into the courtyards. Similar but very different case. And the people of one courtyard brought their Erev through the home that opens into them, and they put into the second house, that's closer to the other courtyard. And the other way too. The members of the other courtyard brought their Erev through the opening of the house that's closer to them, and they put into the other house that's closer to the other courtyard. Both those courtyards have not acquired an Erev. It's not valid. Because every single one of them put his Erev in the gatehouse of the other courtyard. And you have to put the Erev in the Makam Dir, like we said in the first paragraph in Malchut HaZayin. So it's not going to be a valid Erev at all. Halachid Beis. If one of the members of the court is in the throes of death, so although he cannot survive that day, still he's going to make it forbidden on the people of that courtyard because he's still alive. Until they merit from him somehow bread and they make an erev to join them in because ultimately he's still alive. So to a minor, even if he's a baby, can't even eat an olive size of food, he's going to make it forbidden because he owns that property until you join him in the erev. But a guest in Oisel Oil, he never makes it forbidden. Like we explained this in Perek Beis Halacha Aleph, he's not considered as a dweller, and even though he's not part of the Erev, he's not going to make it problematic. Halacha Yud Gimel. Echad Mimnei Chatzer, one of the members of the courtyard, Chenich Beisei, he left his house before Shabbos. V'halach B'Shabbos B'Chatzer Ches, he went and spent Shabbos in a different courtyard. A fellow he's a smuchel chatzer, even if it's near his courtyard. But if he removed it from his thought process, he has no intent to come back to his house on Shabbos. He's not going to make it forbidden for them because although he didn't join the Erev, but a residence without an owner is not considered as a residence. Now, when we say this, is be strolled by a Jew, where it's not normal for a Jew on Shabbos to come back, even if he would be, it already was Hutchul Mixas Shabbos. But a Gentile, a fellow halachlish place b'yachares, even if he went to spend Saturday in a different city, Oisalim, he's going to make it forbidden for them until they rent from him his place. Because it is possible for him to come on Shabbos, and therefore his dwelling is still considered problematic until you rent it from him. The owner of this courtyard, he owns the whole colony, and he leases out from the homes of his courtyard some of his bungalows to others. But he leaves vessels, I mean, some type of merchandise, in every single bungalow, he leaves something over there. So in the Mishmalab, they don't make it forbidden on him that they're not joining in the Erev. Since he has a stronghold of his hand, in every single one of those homes, because he has stuff stored over there that's his. So now it's like everyone, although he leases to them those homes, are like guests by him, which they don't make it forbidden. Now, but when we say this, only if he places over there something, and you cannot move on Shabbos, so it's like it's still his dwelling throughout the whole Shabbos. For example, tebel, untyped produce, which is mukta, because no one could use it, or vashashias, or if you have these thick bars of metal, which are not vessels, and you can't move it on Shabbos. But if he has remaining over in every one of those apartments, he has kelim shemut l'tatlum, vessels that are permitted to be moved, since it is possible to remove them on Shabbos, he's not going to have anything left in any rights in that apartment. Then they do make it forbidden them until they join in the Erev. Look at this Vav regarding what's considered as part of the courtyard. So Anshei Chatzar, members of the courtyard, if they've forgotten, they did not join the Erev. So you can't carry out from the homes to the courtyard, nor from the courtyard to the homes. But they could carry any vessels that had started Shabbos in the courtyard throughout the whole courtyard, any of the toys that were there, or in any area that's considered as part of the courtyard. Now, if there was some type of a porch or aliyah or a loft, the members of the courtyard made their own eruv. The people from the second story, from the porches, they made their own eruv. So Anshei HaMerpeset, the members of the second story, or Anshei Aliyah, or like the ones of the porch, or the second story, Metatlin Kalim, they can move vessels, Shashavas HaBeteihem, that had started Shabbos in their homes, B'chol HaMerpeset, in the whole porch area, on that balcony, and whatever is considered part of that, or on the entire width of the upper story, B'chol HaNechshavim, and whatever is part of that. Anshei HaChatzin, the people of the courtyard, Metatlin B'chol HaChatzin, they could carry throughout the entire courtyard, B'chol HaNechshavim, and whatever is considered part of it, again, because these are separate areas, and whatever is each one could carry in their area of the air. If you have an individual that lived in the courtyard, an individual lived on the upper story, but they forgot they didn't join the air together, so this guy could carry in the whole upper story, whatever's part of that, but he could carry throughout the entire courtyard, whatever's considered part of that. Halacha design now, Kate said, how do we illustrate this? So if you have a hasela, a rock, a tel, or a mound, or similar things to b'teich chatzar that's in the courtyard, and which is joint for the courtyard and for the people of the mirpeset of the balcony. So, if it's not 10 tvachim high, it's considered somewhere in between of the utility of the courtyard and of the people on the balcony. So, both of them are forbidden to take out over there the vessels that are in their homes. Now, the im gavoyim asaga, but if it's 10 tvachim high, this rock or this mound, And between this rock and the balcony was pachus marba tfachim, less than 4 tfachim. Hadil nechshav mimar pesach. So it's considered together of the area of the balcony. Shareihim shavim, because they're equal to that. And the b'nei pesach mutarim, and therefore the people of the balcony are going to be permitted to utilize the area on that rock, because for them it's easy to utilize it more than the people of the courtyard. Now the merhayu rechigim mimar pesach marba tfachim ayesakim. But if let's say the distance horizontally from the mirpeset to the rock was 4 tvachim or more, then af bishak b'nei said that even though the rock is a height of 10 tvachim, hariel b'chal chotzer v'ham mirpeset, it's considered as part of the courtyard and of the mirpeset. L'fisha shneim efshel l'samish b'mal dezirka, because both of them could only utilize the area by throwing. L'fikach shneim asum leitzi l'sham klei abatim, so therefore both of them are going to be forbidden to carry out vessels from their homes onto that rock achir arva, until they make an erev together. Ha'isamatzi v'rechova arba tvachim l'fnei ha'mirpeset. Now, if in front of the balcony there was a platform that was 4 tefachim wide, so then the people of the Mepeset will not make a forbidden on the people of the Chatzar in the case we described, because they are considered separated and divided from them by making this partition as like a separation. They reveal their intention that they don't want to have anything to do with the Chatzar, and therefore they don't make it problematic for these items that are in the Chatzar. Protrusions that are coming out of the walls. So kol shulamat masat tefachim, whatever is beneath 10 tefachim, harei zenech shem lechatzer. Consider that's part of the courtyard, where we're talking about each one made their own eruv. The people of the chatzer made their own, and the people of the loft made their own, and they didn't join the eruv together. So this is considered as lower part. Therefore, v'nei chatzer meshamish, by the people of the courtyard could utilize it, that area. V'chol shu b'teich asar tefachim al yoyin mesmuch m'aliyah. Now, whatever is within the highest 10 tefachim, that's closer to the loft, the people of the upper story could utilize that. Now, v'hanisha, what's remaining, between the lowest 10, until the beginning of the upper 10, from the protrusion that come out over there, then both have forbidden to utilize it. And therefore you cannot utilize it for the vessels that are in the homes, unless they join the air together, because again, for both of them, it's not near them. And therefore they're considered equal in its utility, and they didn't make an air. A pit in the courtyard. If it was filled up with untithed produce, shasal taltim Shabbos. You now move it on Shabbos. Mukta, okay, it's about similar types of things. Hadehu v'chul yasai. So the pit with its mound that's around it, kisela oitel shabachatzah. We'll have the same halacha like a rock or a mound in the courtyard. That is imhoi gavaya sada. If it's a height of 10 tefachim, samach l'mepeset, closer to the balcony, hadehu nechshav l'mepeset will be considered as part of the balcony. Now, the contrast is, that's if it was filled up with untithed produce. But if it's filled up with water, then ein b'nei chatzer, b'lo b'nei mepesed, then neither one, not the people of the courtyard, not the people of the balcony, could take from it to their homes, until they make an erev together, because achamu geizer in a pit filled with water, because sometimes the water would diminish, and then you might still take it into the homes, and then you don't have this anymore as a mound, because it's things that are not mukta, and you could take it away, and it'll remove from that height. Look at test regarding joined courtyards and regarding rights of way. Shtei chatzeres, two courtyards, zulav namizu, one from within the other one. So the people of the inner courtyard, they go in and out, and they have to be able to pass through the outer courtyard to get out to the street. What happens if eva panimis? If the inner courtyard made an erev, but the outer one did not make an erev, so panimis muteres, the people from the inner courtyard are going to be permitted in their own erev to carry in their courtyard. But the outer one is going to be forbidden because the inner one has a right of way and the outer one, and they're like joined together over there, and the outer one did not make an erev with the inner one. What happens if erev hachatzina? What happens if the outer courtyard made an erev? V'lo erev panimis, but the inner courtyard did not make an erev. Shtei nasus, they're both going to be forbidden. The inner one because they didn't make an erev, and they also make it forbidden for the outer one because they have what's called drisus regal. They have a right of way, and they're considered like we view them as part of the outer one, which they did not make an erev with them. So, as the Ram explains, panimis b'nei shle erev with the inner one because they didn't make an erev. V'chatzayin the outer one they elu shle erev because those from the inner ones that did not make an erev sh'ayv malim that passed by them. What happens if erev zula asma v'zula asma? What happens if the outer one made their own erev and the inner one made their own erev? So zumetes b'fnei asma, this one will be permitted on their own. Zumetes b'fnei asma, this one will be permitted on their own. Ava ematal mazul zubi nali carry from one to the other. Lachachof. What happens if shachach echad min the chatzayin b'le erev? What happens if one of the outer ones forgot and did not join the erev? So panimis b'tei remedis, the inner one still retains its heter, because the outer one has no rights away and the inner one to make a forbidden on that. So the outer one will not be mutter because one of the members forgot, but the inner one will still have their own air. But what happens if Shacha Echad min b'nei ha-panim is for the Erev Mam? What happens if, yeah, they both made the seven Erevin, but one of the members of the inner court of a god and did not join the Erev. So afachitzayin asur, then even the outer court isn't going to be forbidden. Because we said, because of the members of the inner one, that the Erev is not effective for them because one member for God, they're passing by the outer one and they make it forbidden, they're considered as part of the outside one.
If both of them made one Erev together, so if they put into the outer one and then they find out one of the members forgot to join the Erev, so whether it was a member from the outer courtyard, whether a member from the inner courtyard, they're both going to be forbidden because it's like they all live in one courtyard and ultimately one of the members did not join the Erev. Until that guy who forgot to join the Erev nullifies his rights. Shabriyanu, because we already explained the second paragraph, hey, Shemavat Machatzachatz, you can nullify your rights from one courtyard to another courtyard. Now, Vimenicha Erevim Bapanimis, now, if they put their Erev in the inner courtyard, now, specifically, one of the members of the outer courtyard forgot and did not join in the Erev, which is now in the inner one, Hachatzena, so the outer one is going to be forbidden because one of the members forgot to join. But a Panimis Muteres Bimkaima, the inner one will be permitted in its place, meaning because it separates its own area. So even though they had originally made an Erev together and they're all like one, but now the one of the members from the outside one forgot and did not join the Erev, the inner one could tell the outer one, say, hey, we were only trying to make things better, not to make things worse. Now that you're making it worse, I don't want to have part of this joint with you. And therefore the inner ones actually will be permitted. Now, Shach Echem Ne'er Panimis will Erev. If one of the inner ones forgot and not join the Erev, then Shein Nasur Sat Shabbat Lam, then both of them be forbidden, like we said, because not only the inner one, but they also pass by the outer one, until that guy forgot, will nullify his rights, and then everyone who's still there is part of the Erev. Lachachav Beis. Hay Echad Dar B'chatzizu. If one person dwelled in one courtyard, Echad Dar B'chatzizu, one person dwelled in the other courtyard. In Psichim L'Arab, they don't have to join in the Erev. El Kalachim Memeshtamash B'chal Chatzir, rather each one could utilize his whole private courtyard, meaning we don't say that an individual in the inner one will make a forbidden on the outer one, even though he has a right of way, and the outer one will not make a forbidden on the inner one, like we said before. Now, but if there was a Gentile in the inner one, which we're specifically talking about, that the outer one has two Jews, so although he's an individual, he is like a plural, like a multitude, and he'll make a forbidden on the outer ones, until they rent his place, like you're always supposed to do with a Gentile, that it shouldn't make you forbidden on two Jews that live together with him. You have three courtyards open up into each other. And each one of those courtyards have a multitude of people. If the two outer courtyards made an Erev with the middle one, so he mutar simon, the middle one's permitted with them, they're permitted with it. Now, but the two outer ones, Asur Zumzu, are forbidden with each other, even though technically they're permitted with the middle and the middle is permitted with them, until all three make one Erev together. Now, if every one of these courtyards only had one inhabitant, although the many have their right of way through the outer one, here we're talking about where the three courtyards are one within the other one, and the only the outer one is open to the Rosh Hashanah, and everyone is walking through that outer one, in Tzrich Ma'arv, they don't have to make an Erev. Why? Because each one is permitted in his own place, and therefore we don't say that they have to make an Erev. Now, if there was two in the inner one, since they are forbidden in their own place until they make an Erev, then they will make it problematic for the individuals in the middle one, the outer one, because they have a right of way, and they're not just one, they're two, and they themselves are forbidden, until the two inner ones make an Erev. Because Zakal, this is the rule. Regal hasur b'mekayma, when you have, so to speak, feet, but meaning individuals that are forbidden to carry in their own place. Like when you have two in the inner one, if they didn't make an Erev, so they're forbidden in their own area, then I say, then they'll make it forbidden, not in their place, meaning the other courtyards that they have to pass through to get out, which they have a right of way. And since they're forbidden in their own place, they're forbidden for them too. But if they're permitted in their own area, then in their then they're not going to make it forbidden when it's not their place, just because they're passing by. Regarding drawing water from a higher story. If you have two balconies, one above the other, that are above a body of water, even though each one of them made partitions that are 10 tefachim high, which work by water, even though they're suspended, that are coming down from each and every one of those balconies. But if those two balconies were within 10 tfachim from each other, Hareel Asuris Lamalas, they're not allowed to draw the water, even though generally with a suspended wall of 10 tfachim, you're allowed to. Achi overstand Erev Echad until they two join in one Erev together. Because they're like one balcony, because they're within 10 tfachim, and they make a forbidden one on the other until they join together. Now, if there was, however, between the upper one and the low one, Yisrael al-Sar tfachim, more than 10 handbreadth, and the Erev Zul Asma, each one made their own individual Erev, then Shteim Tas Lamalas, then they're both permitted to draw the water from their own balconies. If the upper balcony did not make a partition, but the low balcony did, then even the low balcony is forbidden to draw the water. Because the pitcher from the upper balcony, which they're forbidden, which passes by his area. Like that concept of overlap. But if the upper balcony made a partition, and the lower balcony did not, the upper one is permitted to draw, but the low one is forbidden. Now, however, if the members of the lower balcony had partnered with the members of the upper balcony in the expenses of the partition that they made, then both will be forbidden to draw water, even though it's only by the upper balcony, until they make one Erev together. And you have three floors, one on top of the other one. The upper story, the third floor and the first floor is owned by one individual, and the second floor is owned by a different individual. He cannot lower something from the third story to the first story through the middle one. Because you cannot lower something from one area to another area through a different person's property. But you could lower it from the third story to the first story, not through the area of the middle story. If you have two floors opposite each other, and in one courtyard that's beneath them, that they pour the water inside of it, they cannot pour into that area until they make one Erev together. Now, if some of them made this pit, in the courtyard, to spill out that wastewater, some did not make it, the ones that made it, they could pour into the pit that they made. So the ones that did not make, did not spill out into the courtyard until they joined together in the Erev. Now, if these people made their own pit, and they made their own pit, each one could pour it into his pit, even though they did not make an Erev together.